inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that you may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
Now we come to the third section of the New Testament, the epistles, Romans through Jude. Years ago, one unenlightened fellow said he knew what the epistles were. They were the wives of the apostles. But we're confident he was mistaken about that. In these 21 letters, we learn how to live the Christian life. And I'm convinced that a lot of people who claim to be Christians need to do a lot of reading and studying in these books. There's more immorality, more inconsistency in the religion of our Lord today than perhaps any other time. And one reason is we're not well equipped with the knowledge of these 21 great books that tell us how to live for Jesus. It will do no good to obey the Lord and become a Christian unless we intend to live for the Lord and as the Lord directs. And each one of these 21 books, 75% of the New Testament was written to Christians telling us how to live. And there's a criminal imbalance in a lot of preaching today that discusses how to become a Christian but leaves undone the larger area of study, how to live for Jesus. And that will be the purpose of the next few moments in this study, how to live the Christian life. The book of Romans has as its key verse the key thought of the whole Bible, Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." That's the key to the book of Romans. That's the summary of the whole Bible. The gospel of Jesus Christ is God's power to save. I've had many people ask me, what is Romans 1:17 talking about when it says from faith to faith? I believe it teaches, as Galatians 2:16 affirms, that since the gospel of Christ is a system of faith, it begets faith in our hearts. It makes us want to believe. Some have said it means from the faith of the Old Testament to the faith of the New. Others have said it means from the faith of Abraham, who had the promise of the seed given to him, Genesis 22:18, to the fulfillment of that promise in Christ. Others have said it means from the immature beginning faith of a babe in Christ to the mature faith of the fruitful, full-grown child of God. Now, all of those points may be true, but I don't believe Romans 1:17 is talking about that. It speaks of a system of faith, the gospel, which begets faith in our hearts. So it is based on faith, and that makes us want to believe from faith to faith. Romans 2:16 says we'll be judged according to the gospel by Jesus Christ, even our secret thoughts. And then in Romans 3, we learn all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, the book of Romans sets forth the premise that all the Gentiles, the pagans, the heathen of the first century, were in sin and in desperate need of Christ. Chapter 2 turns and says to the Jews, you're inexcusable because you're guilty of doing the same things you condemn the Gentiles for, and with lesser reason, for unto you the oracles of God were committed. You were God's chosen people. You should have lived on a higher plane. And then in chapter 3, he concludes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. The poison of asps is under their lips. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Well, what is the remedy? The gospel of Christ, God's power to save, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then in Romans 4, he says Christ was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. In Romans 5, he said, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. And then in Romans chapter 6, after telling us that sin entered the world and death by sin through Adam and Eve, Romans 5:12, He speaks then of Christ coming as the remedy for that sin. What we lost in Adam, we gain in Christ, is the point he's making. In Romans 6:23, he says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, in Romans 6, he discusses the relationship of a Christian with sin. He says, we're dead to sin. We have buried, crucified the old man. We've been raised to walk in a new life with Christ. We do not yield ourselves as servants to sin as once we did. Sin does not rule or reign in our mortal bodies. It shall not have dominion over us, for there's no reward in sin. And the things we did in the past that we thought were fun, we're now so deeply ashamed of them. And ultimately, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans chapter 7, we learn of the personal struggle with sin that men had under the law, for there was no power per se in the law to release us from the bondage of sin. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin, Hebrews 10:4, and the high sacrificial system they had could not cover their sin, Psalm 32:1. And so Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? I do the things I shouldn't do, don't do the things I ought to do. I'm sold under sin, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Romans 7:13-14. And so finally he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. In Romans 8 he mentions 14 specific blessings for those who are in Christ Jesus. He closes in the exquisitely beautiful refrain, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.